on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Another victory Saturday here. Cody, the Cyclones are 4-0.
Yeah. We'll get to the end a little bit, but yeah, kind of just my initial thing. Yeah, I'm very happy that we're 4-0. Get to the game a little bit, but we have to note the fact that Matt Campbell is not officially the winningest head coach in the history of Iowa State football. He surpassed Dan McCartney's 56 wins to 57 wins after the win last night. So that's a very great achievement there for Coach Matt Campbell and the staff. And also, Iowa State for the first time since 2000 is 4-0 to start the season.
Yeah, man, it's an amazing accomplishment. I mean, we've been saying all season is going to be a special season, and now just to actually see it and still starting the season off without a loss. Absolutely amazing. As you know, as many of you know, I actually went to the game in Houston. Houston fans are amazing. Showed great hospitality to me, especially all the guys in the group chat. I love the Houston fan base. So that's all I got to say about them. And I ate well. They treated us, treated me well, treated all the other Cyclone fans well. Cyclones fans traveled to Houston.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds a bit, yeah. It sounds like you had a great time down in Houston. And for Portugal, I mean, obviously, like, Houston during basketball season, like, they were very fun to talk to. But even now with football, they're sounds like a little more fun. So I'm thinking overall, Houston's, like, just a very great fan base. And obviously, for Houston right now, to any Houston fans that are finished, I know football has been a bit of a struggle, but keep trusting in Willie Fritz. He was able to turn around Tulane from where they were. The trust in Willie Fritz. And
yeah, I was telling Houston fans that their build is going to be similar probably to like what we had with Matt Campbell. So if anybody understands, like, we definitely understand. So just hang in there. Things will get better. Mm-hmm. But anyways, let's just break down this game. Cyclones win 20-0. So I did, you know, it's been sort of a mixed reaction in, like, the Twitterverse and just everybody in general. Some people were a lot more disappointed. Me being able to watch that game in person, I was just a little bit more annoyed than I was, like, absolutely, like, panicking. Because just, mm-hmm. like, they were off, they were really out of sync to begin the game. But, like, I never thought that the game was in danger of being lost. So even when it was 3-0, I was like, all we have to do is get a drive together. And once we get up 10-0, it's over. And that's exactly what happened. After we got up 10-0, the game was basically over.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was ugly as a whole, and not just from the Iowa State offense, but I think in Houston as well. This game was just ugly, and how you mention it. It was just ugly all around. Just barely, like, anybody in Houston just showed up. I mean, there were a lot of Cyclone fans down in Houston, so there was likely a better chance here in Iowa State fans than were Houston fans. And, I mean, yeah, I think this game was more of just Iowa State not really being able to, like, get, like, put their foot down and dominate than it was Houston, like, blocking down defensively. Because I spoke with, maybe on Twitter earlier, but a lot of there were missed opportunities by this Cyclone team. I mean, that first drive, you could have gotten a touchdown. You would have known 7-0, but say you get a field goal. And it's just, you're never able to break through ever since. And maybe for a moment, I thought Houston would get something, but turns out it really didn't mean it. Like, Houston was not able to get anything. So at the end of the day, I'm fine with the victory. And again, we covered the spread.
That's all that matters. Yeah, you know what happens. Good teams win, but great teams cover. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, just I realized it just really watching in person yesterday. It's just like, I'm like, Man, I'm like, just a man, like, because they were sort of eating off of that little QB draw when they line up in the gun and Donovan Smith was running and then the other quarterback was in there. They were doing the same thing, little quarterback draw. But, like, every time they passed the ball, like they were sort of, like, sometimes getting chunk plays in the first half, but they never could get a drive going. It was always, like, a procedural penalty or we got a sack. And then we just forced turnovers. So, like, once we got up to a double-digit lead, we were able to force turnovers like I knew we would, mm-hmm. like, in the second half.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, I think there was one, somebody mentioned, like, if Iowa State goes up two possessions, then you're going to force Houston to move the ball quickly, and you're going to force them to the States. And I think once we got that touchdown in the third quarter, yeah, I think it was just game over for Houston because they had to, like, actually move the ball with a little bit more to see do things that they weren't necessarily comfortable with, and it resulted in a couple of turnovers.
Nah, yeah, bro. Like that interception was a beautiful play by John Tez Williams. Tez, my guy. Yeah, beautiful interception. Then we got a fumble recovery, and we also got another interception by Jermaine Cooper. So it was just a beautiful game all around defensively. Offensively, just want to ask you, do you see this offense possibly being an issue, or do you think this is something, do you think this could be an issue long term, or do you think that this is something that could be fixed next week before we play Baylor?
I've heard fans say, like, this has been an issue all year where we get off to, like, slow starts offensively. I mean, we've seen with the, well, I guess you can't really say, but I feel like, I think the fans are saying, like, we keep, like, Rocco tends to start off slow. I mean, you have a case with Iowa, but, I mean, that's just going up against Kinnick Stadium in a hostile environment. But, yeah, I can understand that. North Dakota, I mean, besides that first drive, yeah, I was slowing off in the first half. Arkansas State was a whole different thing. And even in this game, yeah, Rocky was, like, the miss the rose, just being, like, not, like, missing the case or whatnot. And he was struggling in the first quarter and the first half. I've seen that expressed from some fans. Sure, like, it's just, like, Rock is going to be able to fix it. Like, he knows, too. Like, he obviously knows that he's probably been starting off slow in the first half. So I think that's something that they're going to hammer in practice for.
Definitely. I think it's something that can be fixed. I'm not one of those fans that's going to panic and be like, no, we definitely got to talk about his play. Like, obviously, you know, now that means that we have definitely raised the standard. But, like, it's something that will definitely be fixed. Rocco is the ultimate preparer, so he's going to figure out stuff and all the kinks he needs to put in practice and film session this week in practice. So I'm really, really confident that he'll bounce back. But that's really, like, a lot of what I wanted to say about the game. But if you want to share your screen, man, what a weekend in the Big 12, man. The Big 12 never disappoints.
Yeah, and even before that, we can show you the final stats here.
Yeah.
Lost with a little misleading, but yeah, the game was never out of in danger for Iowa State. Even here, like 6-6, like it never got below 60% win probability. And I mean, you look at our leaders here, Rocco Beck. I mean, even for a terrible game, he didn't turn the ball over, and that's the main thing that I want to see. It's just, not turning the ball over.
And can we talk about the rushing job by Jalen Jackson, man? Jalen Jackson, the cool thing that was that being at the game is I think he is from that area, and a lot of his family were in the stands. So every time he had a huge run, you heard him and his family cheering. It was a really, really fun thing to see. But just him being a part of this offense is just really just a change of pace back for us. Has been a revelation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, the same thing with Abu Sama. Like, yeah, the 77-yard long touchdown, which is Abu Sama's first of the year. I'm very surprised to say that 4 weeks into the year, Abu Sama finally got a rushing TD. But I mean, yeah, it's just kind of struggled this year to really find the ball. And I was just talking to buddies about like Abu Sama's struggles. And it's kind of a mix of like his line not giving him holes and him like, not being a full like downhill runner. Like he's very patient, like the final lane. I suppose that is a detriment to a running back. It's like going back. But I mean, Abu Salma, I mean, of course, it's a home run hitter. So, K-State fans are not going to like seeing this play. Like,
man, like, so.
Yeah, I hope they didn't see that rush because they probably got PTSD from it. But yeah, great to see Abu Salma finally getting that, like, getting like a good run game. I mean, a game, good game, getting that long TD. And I think there's more to come from Abu Salma. But him and Jalen Jackson are like the 1-2 punch.
And yeah, just like we thought, Jalen Travis had another great game, and I think he's just going to be part of the rotation from now on because he just gets just a push yesterday, which is one of the main reasons why he ran for over 230 yards yesterday.
Yeah, and then I know we already mentioned like the wide receiving core.
They definitely did a good job because Rocker ran for 153. But yeah, Higgins was great yesterday. Had a lot of yak yesterday. 8 for 79. Beautiful touchdown catch in the third quarter to extend the lead. Jalen Noll actually also had a really good game. Broke off a few. Carson Brown, who from a friend. Is a walk-on guy from Des Moines, from West Des Moines. So he had a great game too with the two catches that he had. So I look for him to be we'll see him a lot more at the rest of the year. A lot of depth guys who played yesterday.
Real quick, I'm going to touch on the defense here. Defense did his job. I mean, obviously, you shut out an opponent. That's great to see on the road. And, I mean, talk about the play of our defense. Like, I mean, the run game, like, we were getting gassed a bit, like, throughout the game. Mm-hmm. But we never, like, broke. And just, once again, Kale Brzezina having himself a really nice game with 7 total tackles, 5 solo, and 2.5
2.5 seconds for loss, man.
Yeah, it's great just seeing, how Kale Brzezina is growing game by game.
It's great to see, man. I think he might be one of the great ones by the end of his time here. But just the fact of this is great for these young freshman linebackers, especially once we get to playing better competition. That's gonna pay dividends, especially in these other games where we play a lot easier teams. They're gonna build a lot more confidence by the time we play other. And competitors in the Big 12.
All right. So now that we just left the game summary in full, let's go take a look at around the Big 12. Because, I mean, this week was a wild week, like you mentioned, in the Big 12. So look at this. Like, look what pops up. The first game that's, like, right below our game. It's
this, man,
big upset over number 10 Utah in Rice-Eccles.
Yeah, Arizona came in. They were determined to show that they weren't that K-State team. And they came into Rice-Eccles and beat Utah after a decision that Utah wasn't going to play Cam Rising. Wilson struggled yesterday. So, now Utah's like, all right, well, they're not as, you know, maybe they are beatable. So it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of their season goes by the time they play us.
Mm-hmm. That the Holy War is going to, like, it might be one to look out for at the rate that these two teams are. That one's going to be an interesting game. And we'll get to BYU in a little bit. But we have to take a look at Kansas State dismantling Oklahoma State. And Cleveland Johnson had himself a really nice game. If you had him, like, I know there's, like, a place where you can have, like, a college football team. If you had Avery Johnson as your starting quarterback for college fantasy football, you got a lot of points. 5 total TDs, as mentioned right there on the screen. Dude had himself a game.
Yeah, DJ Giddens did too. 15 for 187. 1 touchdown. He was going off against that. And now Oklahoma State is, like, they're basically now eliminated. Now, I mean, Alan Bowman has sort of regressed. That offensive line has not been good, and it just further tells a tale. Just because you have a lot of experience doesn't mean you're going to have a lot of success. I mean, that's the story with them.
Yep. And then BYU getting out of Waco with the win against Baylor. Now, the score is a little like deceiving because Baylor was down 21-0 against BYU at one point in the game. Like, BYU got off to a fire start against mm-hmm. the Bears in Waco, up 21-0, and then Baylor just falling back into the game. I think it talked to like some. I think it like looked at came down to the offensive game plan for BYU. I think they got a little too conservative. Like as the game went on, they got too conservative, and it almost cost them the game. But BYU's just glad to get out of Waco, 5-0. And somebody like if you told me at the beginning of the year that BYU would be 5-0, 2-0 in Big 12 play, and the top of the Big 12. I would have had to ask you, how much cocaine did you snort to say that?
Right. Exactly, bro. I mean, I know we picked him to go to a bowl game, but man, I did not see this coming. I think it's a credit to Jake Retzloff, their quarterback, man. He just did a complete 180 this offseason, and now he's a competent Big 12 quarterback, and now he has them 5-0 on top of the Big 12.
Yep. And then, so BYU, 5-0, heading into the bye week. And that's going to be much needed for them. Like, that's going to be great for them to carry over, because now they can relax a little bit, walk on the coast, and not have to worry too much about the upcoming schedule. So it comes at a great time for them. And then, for the first time this year, Kansas Jayhawks hosted a game at Arrowhead Stadium, and it did not go well for them at all. Did you see the attendance of that game?
There was a lot of people at that game.
Yeah, the lower bowl wasn't even filled.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, and I get why. Yeah, now, because now Kansas has fallen to 0-2 in Big 12 play, and is 1-4 overall after dropping a game against TCU, 38-27. Josh Hoover got 3 touchdowns, and just the down, like what we said about BYU 5 weeks ago, you can apply the same logic to Kansas. Kansas was terrible, as like a dark horse contender to win the Big 12 and go to the College Football Playoff, and some people had Jalen Daniels as a dark horse to make a run to and win the Heisman. Now that's clearly out of the question. Kansas is just they're what has happened to them?
Well, we realized that it was all Andy Koldenicki, and that they're not really a good football team. So, yeah, everybody that was saying that Lance Leopold was a better coach than Matt Campbell, wake up from your dream. This is what Kansas really is. So, hey, unfortunately, 1-4, but hey, at least basketball starts for you in 36 days.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a confrontation prize. At least you have basketball to worry about. But I think the Kansas fans have already just decided. Yeah, we're going back to basketball. Forget the football thing.
Yep.
They hopped on this football bandwagon train, and then they're right back off of it, right back to basketball. Good Lord.
Oh yeah, because the K-State fans were roasting them about that. So yeah, it was pretty funny to see.
Yep.
But let's get to the next game. I think this next one is probably the most surprising result out of the day. Man, Colorado goes down to the Bounce House, which is a crazy, crazy environment. The biggest crowd ever on Big Noon. Fox Big Noon, and they destroy UCF 48-21. I mean, Shadur was on. I mean, and Travis Hunter, interception, and I believe he had a receiving touchdown too. So he struck that Heisman pose in the end zone. I'm like, bro, I just like with them being 4-1, man. Is Colorado maybe a dark horse?
You know, after this game, you might have to put him in that conversation because they went into a building with the, like, a lot of people have the perception that UCF, I mean, they were coming out to buy. They have a big crowd. Like, obviously, the biggest crowd in the history of Fox, Big Noon. They're at home. And it was a lot. Like, it was set up for UCF to have a really good game. But Colorado decided to come out. Even after the weather delays, this game got delayed by about an hour due to weather and due to Hurricane Helene. I believe, yeah, due to Hurricane Helene, yeah, the game got delayed by about an hour. And Colorado was still able to just keep their composure and ultimately punch UCF right in the mouth and put up almost 50 on him in the bounce house.
Man. It's unbelievable. I mean, now, like, I'm not gonna lie, I feel like now, like, just the massive just hating on Colorado is just sort of weird now. I'm like, look, y'all, just not now, like, with all that, because before I was like, you know what, this sort of sucks. I'm not really, I'm actually sort of cheering for them now. It's just like now the hate is just, the hate that they get is just so dumb. Yeah. But, yeah, so good for Colorado now that 2-0. They're near the top of the Big 12 now. Who would have thought that? That's good for them. And then the last game, man, Cincinnati and Texas Tech in Lubbock in a barn burner, and Tech survives 44-41.
I mean, this is like, if you thought about like the old Big 12 versus whoever got the ball last would win the game, this is what you're looking for. This is probably better than like some like other ranked matchup that we have like across the country. Talk about two teams that are fighting to like be like an early like force in like the Big 12 race, and Texas Tech will ultimately pull up and win on a game like after. I mean, Cincinnati missed a game time field goal, so guess whoever was the last man standing in the shootout essentially was what this game was. And Texas Tech, I mean, after like the Washington State game, I think some people like wrote them off a little bit, but now they're 2-0 in the Big 12, and Texas Tech is right back to where most people had them as like possibly a contender for the Big 12 title.
Yeah, I believe Cincinnati was up in like most of this game, but Tech stormed back. It was a back and forth game. Were you able to watch any of this game? I wasn't, obviously, for reasons. I wasn't able to watch it.
I think I was able to catch. I was able to catch like bits and pieces of this game, but yeah, I was watching the Iowa State game like the whole time, and also watching some other matchups around the country. I mean, Georgia, Alabama was on. It was kind of difficult to get to this game.
Man, that was that Georgia Alabama game was an instant classic, bro. I mean. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of the game, bro, I thought, I'm like, because I was looking at the scoreboard at the game, I was like, Bama's up 28-0. What?
Yeah. Yeah, right here. Yeah, 28-0. Alabama in that first, like, half was running all over the Georgia Bulldogs. And just the fact that Georgia even, after all of that, came back, and they actually took the lead at one point. See right here, yeah, on the playoff like probability. Yeah. They had scored with like 2:30 to go. And you're thinking, okay, like this is actually Georgia's actually back in this game. And then literally like right, the next play, Jalen Milroe grinds the freshman, a 17-year-old freshman, Ryan Williams. And Ryan Williams spins midair to stay inbound and he just books it to the end zone. And Alabama gets themselves a signature win early in the year against a team who had won two of the last three national championships. And now it hasn't pitched the AP poll because Alabama, on the latest AP poll that came out earlier today, is ranked number one in the country. They jumped Texas for that number one spot.
Man, yeah. I mean, this is one of the games of the year, and everybody thought that Bama would be dead under Kalen DeBoer. Yep. Nope, they're still right there. They are still right there. And obviously, yeah, what a game. And like you said, the AP poll came out. Iowa State moved up two spots. They jumped BYU in Utah. And another thing we got to talk about is, man, have you seen the FPI index for the rest of the games for Iowa State? Where I think we are going to be favored in every single game that we play.
Yeah, I've heard, yeah, for the rest of the year, we're going to be favored. Like, all the rest of the games we're favored in. So it's looking right now that this schedule like is very favorable for Iowa State. And they basically control their destiny to go to Arlington and win the Big 12 and be in the college football playoff. Some people, like, you know, some people are really, like, looking up at this Iowa State team. They're keeping their eye on Iowa State. We actually are playing under most people's radars, but some people have picked up on the Cyclone as like that Big 12 automatic qualifier.
I mean, look, I know there are some people who be like, oh crap, we actually have expectations now. Nah, bro, don't be scared. Embrace it, man. This is what we wanted, man. We can't be scared because now we're in the limelight. Yeah, previous teams would have folded, but. Like we said, this team is different. They're ready for this challenge. Let's see how they do in these last eight games. I'm really, really excited to see how this team responds and goes. Because, like I said, I think we're gonna win these next three games, bro. Oh, and yeah. Just like, man, if we're, like I said, we're 7-0, we can finally get that. And if we get to 7-0, we're definitely winning 10 games. So then people can stop saying that about us. And, man, can you imagine the haters that we would shut up if we make the playoff and then win a Big 12 title? Like
that would be so great for the program. Like, there's already a lot of stories written about the team, obviously. Going 4-0 for the first time since 2000. Going to try to go 5-0 here, I think, for the first time in program history. Or it's been a very long time. I would say when 5-0 to start the season. So, I mean, this game against Baylor, there's a lot on the, like, there's a lot of pomp and circumstance, obviously. You're talking about the whiteout. You're talking about the drone show. It being on a big, like, a big Fox network in prime time. Like, that's a 30 slot. So, a lot of eyeballs are going to be in the Iowa State team this coming Saturday for the whiteout. And I think, looking at it, I think all the team really needs to focus on is the on Baylor, focus on playing their game and winning the game. And I'm certainly for sure that this team is going to be like mentally tough enough to block out the like, unnecessary noise, worry about like what's going on inside the facility, and just worry about what's going on the field. So I'm ready to go to this game. I'm ready for this whiteout game, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is. Hopefully I'm able to make it out there because this is something that I really want to be a part of, and if anything, you know, I'll be down there for at Arrowhead.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you're gonna have a long day of tailgating. You're gonna be able to tailgate basically all day because of the 6:30 kickoff.
That was me this past man. I had to really, really pace myself, man. But yeah, there is your reaction. So, thank you guys for joining us on the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Be sure to subscribe to us and rate us on your favorite podcast provider. We can be found on X. Message us there. Matt Campbell Impersonator. At me at SciTie Guy. Also follow us on our social media pages on X, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and TikTok. So with Tyler Carter,
with Cody Vancilello,
this is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Let's go Cyclones.